Jack is a young island businessman. A successful entrepreneur, if you will. There is no other way to describe him. He works hard to earn his living under a considerable degree of risk. He has to be on the sea in the worst kind of weather, and he makes his sails on land, late at night, in all manner of different places. He tries to keep his business as cash only, but occasionally, with a best friend, a good customer, and accounts receivable will be written up. But these are few and far between. Business is good, especially when a wedding is coming up. And Jack's big day is right around the corner. Mary is a sweet young thing, beautiful, a full head of red hair, that has to be her Irish roots, and mature. She's only about 6 months younger than Jack. He has known her all his life. He sat beside her at catechism, got to tease her in the schoolyard. He felt sorry for her at her mother's wake, in that big old house with all those men, waiting on them, hand and foot. Since she started flashing that beautiful smile at him, and only him, she became a whole lot of fun to be with at the dances. But our friend Jack has a problem. He has a secret. He is a rum runner. Prohibition is on, and he sells illicit liquor to his friends and the neighbors whom he can trust. Jack has been surreptitious about his sideline, and he knows that there is no gossip in the community. He knows that he will have to tell Mary sometime about all this. He could use some help with the bookkeeping. After all, arithmetic was not a strong suit in school. But should he tell her before or after the nuptials? The problem is compounded for her father and 7 older and much bigger brothers have never sought Jack out to make a purchase. What will they do to him when they find out about Jack's little sideline? He doesn't think they are teetotalers, but he doesn't know where they get their stuff. Sure wasn't from him. Jack did his utmost to avoid those fellows. Their temper is very well known in the area. Jack and Mary have discussed everything else in their courting drives to the glen. Love is definitely in the equation here. He has his own fishing fleet and brings in a good catch. Mary knows that he will be a good provider and will put food on the table for their children in the years to come. Jack is also ambitious. He wants more out of life. He wants to have the little extras that his brothers and sisters have in the Boston States. It would be nice someday to get the lights and get one of those electric ice boxes. Jack has a regret. Mary will likely be disappointed in him when he tells her about this. Might even be a little angry. Oh, what the hey. She loves him, right? Nah, she would never leave him over a little rum. Heck, the priest even got a bottle off Jack last Christmas. At cost. A small contribution to the church, eh? Jack works hard right up to a couple days before the wedding. He doesn't get down to see Mary at all. 2 fast boats have been by the last few nights. There had been lots of fog, and the cutter was nowhere in sight. Jack advised easy trips in from the international limit with full loads. Old Captain Dix was even in good humor. The Bay Boys were out there too, and it was good to hear what was going on down west. Come on, it isn't just the women who like hearing the gossip, you know. This stuff was packed properly this time, in wooden crates stuffed with straw, and there was not a bottle broken. 3 miles in and out with his boat is no hardship, although they are talking about moving the limit to 12 miles. He already had the trenches dug in the woods, and the stuff was finally hidden from view. After all, he did not want to have anything to interfere with the honeymoon. Getting caught right now and having to face the magistrate, old Mike McCormick, in Surrey, is not a business expense Jack wished to incur. Jack was cleaning up for the night and took a glance at the clock. Only 36 hours to go before he had to stand before the old priest. Ah, yes, life is good. There was someone at the door. These are unexpected visitors indeed. Mary's father and her brothers are all at the door. Big, big men these fellows were. And uh-oh, not a smile on anyone's face either. Jack is wary, and the thought crosses his mind that there are enough here to be his pallbearers. He may be before the altar all right, in a pine box. A whole pack of them walk in as if they own the place. Not a word is said, and the old man proceeds to look the new house over with a frown. So what, Jack thought. He was going to let Mary paint or paper, whatever way she wanted. Just had to go into Matthew McLean's and pick out whatever Mary wanted. And I had to get the wedding over first. Polite small talk ensues. It was made about the weather, the upcoming election, and the miserable state of the recent wharf repairs at the lake. Jack's stomach churns. He could use a bottle of that stuff that is so well hidden out in the woods. He hopes whatever beating they're going to lay on him will not be too severe and that he will be able to walk afterwards. Mary's father speaks hesitantly. He is embarrassed. There's a big problem with the wedding. Actually, the wedding breakfast. And he doesn't know what to do about it. It is the father of the bride's responsibility, and he has never had to bring this shortcoming to anyone's attention before. Jack does not know what to make of this turn of events. He listens for more. There's silence for a few moments, and her brother's faces are getting as red as their hair. The old man finally stammers, "Jack's son, Jimmy here blew up the still, and we got no stuff for your dance. What are we going to do about it?" Then came the shocking statement of the evening. "My little Mary said there might be something you could spare from your stash." Jack was stunned. The old man stared at him and started to laugh. He clapped Jack on the back and roared, "No experience around women, eh? That's good. You'll learn, boy, you'll learn. My daughter's just like her mother, God rest her soul. There ain't nothing you can hide from a woman on the north side of this island."